going to be doing the majority of our study this morning from Matthew chapter 2, the reading from which Joey did this morning. Certainly do appreciate the presence of everyone. Glad that we're able to be together. A lot of sickness going around, and let's be mindful of those who have been mentioned. Continue to check on them, pray for them, do what we can in assisting them. In Matthew chapter 2, we see an interesting contrast in attitudes toward Jesus Christ. There are three different contrasts that I want us to look at this morning. The main characters are, first of all, the wise men. Secondly, the chief priests and scribes. And then thirdly, Herod. And each of these pictures a completely different attitude toward the Lord and different action toward Him. So let's just look at each one. Let's begin with the wise men. And when we think about the wise men, we're talking about an order of priests and philosophers from the Far East, at least east of the Euphrates River, which would put them more than 1,000 miles from Bethlehem. Now, how many there were, we don't know. Men have said 3. And really that does a disservice to the passage and what the Bible has to say. There may have been 2. There may have been 50. There may have been 10. The Bible just simply says that wise men came. But the thing that I want to emphasize is not the number or even altogether who they were, but the thing I want to emphasize is what their action was. First of all, I want us to notice that they came from the east, verse 1 tells us. I don't know how many obstacles they had to overcome. I do know that they did not know for sure where they were going. It was a great distance that they were traveling, and yet they were the kind of men who would not let obstacles keep them from coming to this great event. And as I think about that, I appreciate people who will overcome any obstacle to come and worship the Lord. Brother Himmel's here in a wheelchair. I've seen people brought in on cots before. I've seen people literally at the point of death come to services to worship God. And the point is, these wise men did not let obstacles keep them from being present on that occasion. A second thing that I want us to notice is that they came with joy. Verse 10 tells us that. And when I think about that, I cannot help but think that they're coming to see the Lord. Their presence there before the Lord was not a have-to thing. Occasionally you hear people say, well, do I have to come to this service or that service? And quite frankly, I've never understood why people would not want to be present with God's people when there's an assembly to worship. I'm reminded of the statement that David made in Psalm 122, verse 1, where he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Or I think about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 as he ran ahead and he climbed up into that sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus and see what was going on. Or the palsied man who was let down through the roof in Mark chapter 2 because there was such a crowd around and they just took back some of the tiles and then they let the palsied man down so that he could be with Jesus. We ought to come with joy when we come to worship Jesus. Thirdly, it tells us that they worshiped. In verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. It's not enough just for us to come and to be present. But as we're here, we must worship. As we have sung the songs, I pray that all of us have sung with the spirit and with the understanding that we understand we're singing praises to God. We're being taught. We're being admonished as we sing, as the prayer was being led. I pray that we all made that prayer our prayer. In just a little while, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. And what we want to do is to make sure that as we partake, we examine ourselves and we discern the Lord's body. In John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And I want to add here, and I really should have underlined Him, they came to worship Jesus. They didn't come to worship anyone else. Their coming together was to worship Jesus. They didn't worship Mary. Now, Mary was a great woman, but they never worshiped her. And then when I think about the wise men, what I see is they opened their treasures. Verse 11. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to Him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what I understand from that, and I realize from that, is that when we come before God and we worship, genuine worship involves us opening our treasures and giving liberally. And what that is, it's an outgrowth of our love for Jesus. Now that's what the wise men did upon learning of the birth of Jesus. They came from the east, didn't let obstacles keep them from coming. They came with joy. They worshiped Christ when they arrived. They opened their treasures. A second group of people that I want us to consider is the chief priests and the scribes. And I guess if we were describing these people, we would describe them as being the Bible scholars of the day. They were the religious leaders. As a matter of fact, Herod recognized them as such. Verse 4, speaking of Herod, when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the priest was to be born. And so here are the wise men. And they come and they're seeking where Jesus was to be born. And Herod, he calls in the priest, the chief priest and the scribes, and he asked them, and they knew. Verse 6 says, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." They were aware of what the Old Testament taught. And here they're quoting from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And so as the wise men come asking, Herod calls in the chief priests and the scribes, and they know exactly what the Scriptures teach as to where Jesus was to be born. And you know, when I look at that, I think, well, that's impressive. The question is asking, they say, here it is. Here's what the Scriptures say. And you'd almost get the impression that they could hardly be wrong. That they must have known everything, but that's not the case. These same Bible scholars did not recognize that Jesus was to be a suffering Messiah, and they missed the whole point of Isaiah 53 and Psalm chapter 27. And here were lowly fishermen and tax collectors, and they understood what these chief priests and scribes missed. And what that tells me is this. Even Bible scholars can be governed by prejudice like all others. And so consequently, what we have to do is we have to find out what the Bible teaches and not let Bible scholars direct us. They can be wrong. But at least they did know where Jesus was to be born, and I want to give them credit for that. But what was their reaction? What was their action in relation to Jesus? Well, it was one of indifference. In contrast to these wise men, the chief priests and the scribes, they didn't go. to find Jesus. Those who knew the most cared the least and made the least effort to do anything in relation to the birth of Christ. You know, many of us have been reared in homes where our parents were Christians. We've really had every advantage that a person could possibly have. We've been exposed to the Word of God. We've been taught the Word of God. We've had multiple copies of the Bible in our homes where we can read and we can study. It reminds me of three boys I heard about. One boy, he had a good mother and dad. He grew up in the Lord's church, and at about age 15 or 16, he was preaching. Very talented. A second boy, he grew up in a good home. He attended a good congregation. His dad was an elder. A third boy was from the Northeast. He didn't know anything about the Bible. And when the kids were together and there would be a devotional, he would get his guitar out and in his talking he would use profanity. But later he obeyed the gospel, this third boy. And the first and second boy, they had every opportunity growing up. The third boy, he really didn't have the opportunities that these first two boys had as he was growing up. The first and second boy, in time, sadly forsook the Lord. And they no longer are faithful to the Lord. Whereas this third boy is an active, faithful member of the Lord's church. And the point is this, he took advantage of what he learned. Now, the chief priests and scribes, they did not do that. I think of the statement in Romans chapter 1 in verses 21 and 22 as Paul is describing the Gentile world. He says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And as you continue reading in that particular chapter, what you see is that here were people who became moral degenerates. They knew God, but the problem was they didn't glorify Him as God. They weren't thankful. Their thoughts were futile. And they thought they were wise, but what the Bible says is they became fools. And that's what happened to the chief priests and scribes. They knew what the Scriptures taught. But they were the very ones, the very leaders, who were crying out, crucify Him, crucify Him. Though they knew what the Scriptures taught. And it can happen in our day. In Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 4, the Hebrew writer says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good works of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. Now that was the chief priest and the scribes. Let's look at the third character, and that is a man by the name of Herod. And this Herod was Herod the Great. He was one of the most cruel tyrants known to history. In addition to the wicked deeds that he did on this occasion, he murdered two of his high priests, He murdered his uncle Joseph. He murdered his wife. He murdered three of his own sons and many others. And before his death, he had many prominent citizens imprisoned, and he gave orders that when he died, they were to put these prominent citizens to death to make sure that there would be a lot of mourning at his passing. Now that's the kind of man he was. Just a cruel, wicked man. And as we look at him on this occasion, here's what we see. We see that he is full of jealousy. He was afraid that this baby was going to take over his throne. We see his willingness to defy God. Verse 13, "And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." You see, he knew all of this was from God. And what his desire was, as he called in the chief priests and scribes, it wasn't for him to be able to go and to worship the child. His desire was to destroy the child. And in doing that, what he was doing was fighting against God. We see deceit. Really just lying. Verse 8, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." He was dishonest. He was a liar. He was deceitful. And then we see him as a murderer. In verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all that region, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men." He killed all the male children from 2 years and under in the region of Bethlehem in an effort to destroy the Christ child. Do you see the three attitudes? The wise men, they came and they worshiped him. The chief priests and scribes, they were indifferent. They didn't do anything. Although they knew, they didn't do anything. And Herod's intent was to destroy the Christ. And we can take any one of these three courses today. If we're going to go to heaven, and not only that, if we want to be happy now, what we'll have to do is to fall down and worship Christ. And make Him the Lord of our life. And the question is, what will you do? What will I do? I think our being together this morning is an indication of our desire to worship Christ. I pray that we continue to remind ourselves constantly of who Christ is. That because, as Brother Hemmel prayed, because of His death and His burial and His resurrection, that is the essence of the gospel, which has the power to save us if we will respond positively to it. And even though the world may ridicule those who worship God, those who worship the Christ, we must be people who always are worshiping and understanding who Christ is, and that because of Him, we have the hope, the opportunity of being obedient, of being forgiven, and of one day being with God forever. You see, this life is more than just eating and sleeping and making a living. There's something beyond this life. And the only wise course is to serve the Lord. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. Each of us needs to examine ourselves. When we're lacking, we need to fill that void. If we're the children of God, let's constantly be examining ourselves, doing our very best to improve in our service to God and our service to fellow man in pleasing God in all that we do. If you're not a child of God, if you've never rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ, understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died for the sins of all the world. And come, believing in Him as the Messiah, as the Son of God, turning from your sins in repentance, being baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to His church. You'll be among the saved. And then what the Lord expects of us is for us to live faithfully, for us to grow spiritually, and to serve Him faithfully to death. Stand and sing for our